Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery. I'm the rector of the parish, and after a couple of weeks of vacation, it's good to be back with you. Joining me in the ministry of the word today is the Reverend Hannah Scorer, and our team for music, as it often does, includes Steve Hollowitz, our music director, Paul Stevenson as well, Katie Clark, Paul Grambo, and Lauren McDonald. As always, tending the mixer and the soundboard is John Gardy. We invite you now to relax. Put aside everything that has gone on in your week, the celebrations, the joys, the sadness, the defeats. Put them all to the side. Find a place of comfort. And join us now in worship. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of his kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your true and living bread, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Romans chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. my conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the 2 broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the joys of having been at ministry for quite some time, that's code for being old, you have a chance to recycle some homilies that people haven't heard for a long time or perhaps have never heard before, and it's always good to be honest. This is one such homily that is recycled and somewhat changes each time I use it, because it is a homily on a passage of Scripture that set me on a path and has really informed who I am in my understanding of God. And it is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. So if we go back probably 30 years, there was a great controversy ripping through the church in Alberta, where I was living at the time, as to whether the feeding of the 5,000 had to be a literal miracle, or, as was being suggested in another understanding, that Jesus simply brought those who were there to being generous, to understanding who they should be in faith. And they all had little bits and pieces of food, but they were trying to hoard them for themselves. And when the loaves and fishes came forward, everyone else began to understand that they were called to contribute to the wider understanding. And that's where all the food came from. So the other side of the argument was, no, it was a miracle. And I participated in that argument somewhat vehemently at that time, arguing for the miracle. But today I would discuss things in a much different understanding, in that I would say that the literal happening is much less important than the spiritual understanding. Especially in this time of COVID-19 and people who are still without jobs due to COVID-19 restrictions, people who have suffered, people who have lost much, people who have been ill, people who have been forced to work when they prefer not to, but they did so for the betterment of humanity. Do those people have the right now to say, where are my loaves and fishes? Give me what I need. Well, in some senses, that is happening from government programs and from the generosity of human hearts. People are being rewarded, maybe not always in monetary ways, but you can see any number of videos of frontline healthcare workers and first responders being incredibly moved by people standing on the side of the road cheering for them or ringing bells to show that we understand that they have risked so much. But it hasn't been a situation where something has just been handed to them. In fact, we can see the reverse, where sometimes people working in those such situations have felt that what they needed to do the job wasn't given to them, and they had to work in difficult situations. The biggest change in the way I would discuss the feeding of the 5,000 would be, is this an actual CNN report, or is this one of those stories crafted to help us to understand? And it would make a significant difference if this was something that they were eyewitnesses to, if there was someone who was there who said, I was there and all there was were the loaves and fishes, that's all there was for anybody to eat, and yes, there were 5,000 people, maybe more, and that didn't count the women and children, there might have been as many as 10,000 people there, and they all ate from that little bit. So if we had that type of a witness, someone who was there who saw it, that would be compelling. While Jesus became known, some of the things he did like this should have swept across the country, should have brought people not in 5,000, but in 50,000 or 100,000 people coming to see and figure out who this person was that was doing not just this, but the number of stories of miracle healings we have and all the kinds of things that we hear Jesus doing. You would think that someone, other than the gospel writers writing 30, 40 years later, someone would have written it down and said, you should have seen what happened. This was an amazing event. But I don't think we have that. Instead, what we have, and this is where I've come to on this passage, is that creative tension that we have to have a conversation with ourselves about what this actually means. Because you see, there's a flip side to it. If Jesus fed 5,000 people, didn't the 5,000 people who were there for the next night of the crusade have the right to demand loaves and fishes? 3 weeks down the road, should not people have said, we don't need to take food, he'll give it to us. If there were people healed, why didn't everyone come up and demand to be healed? At some level, in some reality, it just means that people other than those who were in close quarters to what was happening heard only by rumors, because they didn't have news reports and newspapers and Facebook and Instagram and all those other things. So it would have spread by whispers. Did you hear what happened? And things would get changed a little bit. So I'm not discounting anything. I'm just asking us to be in that creative tension between, is this an actual historical story? Is this a story written to show Jesus' miracles? Is it a story written to show that by Jesus loving these people, they began to love one another? And not only did they feed them in this one situation, not only did they feed them with physical food, they fed them with spiritual food. They became to understand what Jesus represented in the big picture. Not just what you were having for dinner, but who Jesus is as God. So let's apply this to COVID-19. This is the new part of the homily. The other part's the old part that I recycled. Obviously, everything comes back and has a new implication. Should we just say to the government, give us everything we need? I've been wronged. I need, do this now. We've heard all kinds of news stories like that. But the truth of what has happened spiritually since COVID-19, I think, is that people have adapted. People have gone out of their way. People have done things for other people that have left them dumbfounded. Random acts of kindness and love. People have began to take on understandings of issues that have been around for forever, but suddenly now these issues are much more front and center. We're talking about a universal basic income. We're talking about homelessness. We're talking about affordable housing. We're talking about Black Lives Matters. We're talking about Indigenous issues. Is it just that we want, or is it that we are called to be something, to do something in a spiritual matter that is greater than anything we've ever done before? Free lunch is nice. I'm always quite happy, always the first one to volunteer when somebody says, let's go for lunch and I'll buy. But that's not anything spiritual. It's far more important when I go to lunch with a colleague or a friend and we get into one of those wonderful conversations about who God is, about what God is doing in our world, about how we react spiritually and theologically to things that we had thought were little boxes that couldn't be opened, and we've broken them open and found entirely new meanings which have taken us in new directions. So what I'm trying to say in this homily is that we need to broaden our line of vision. We need to spend more time looking at the big picture and less time looking at our feet. There are days, there are good chunks of every day that we need to do that which we need to survive. There are times that we have to look at our own inward needs, and because they are crucial to us at that moment, we have to go all out to make sure that we and our families and our friends have enough to get by. But we can't leave it at that. We can't leave it at me and Jesus are okay. We can't leave it at Jesus gave me everything I need, praise Jesus, we're done. That's just the first part. The second and maybe most important part is relationships. Is understanding the bigger picture of what Jesus calls us to do. Me and Jesus can't be okay when the world's falling apart. Because it means that all the me's around the world are missing something, because we are called to be one human family. We are called to work together. We are called to work for the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. And that's not something that Jesus is just going to drop on top of us. That's something that we find by relationship, by study, by prayer, by reaching out to people, for doing things and going places that we don't want to go to, that we're afraid to go to, things we're afraid to do. And we only find those things when we're willing to expand our horizons. Even in the 30 years since my first discussion about this passage, look at how different the world is. Look at the way people have moved freely around this world. Look at the explosion in communication. Look at the widening gap between the rich and the poor. Things that were issues 30 years ago aren't necessarily issues today, but other issues have taken their place, and some of the bedrock issues of those days are still important. We are called to love one another. We're called to understand the big picture, to not just take the easy interpretation, but it's always to look to God for what we can see that is new, that is challenging, that is faith-building, that expands our world and our opportunities to help. Amen.
Fall on my knees.
Let us confess our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I would invite you now into a position of prayer. Every day is a day to be renewed, to become the people God created us to be. May we learn to recognize our true selves as we reflect on God's hope and intention for creation. God calls us to proclaim the gospel to all humanity. May we seek to be the presence of Christ in the world. God calls us to shelter, nurture, and cultivate spiritual communion among all God's children. May we be a safe place for everyone to question, to know, to struggle, and to grow. God calls us to worship in spirit and truth. May we abandon self-interest for profound awareness. May we share our gifts and creativity in our expression, and may the table at which we gather always have room. God calls us to uphold the truth. May we faithfully struggle to understand truth so that instead of being chained and imprisoned to it, we may be joyfully and completely set free by it. God calls us to be advocates for social justice. May everything that seeks to undermine God's love make us uncomfortable and passionately active. God calls us to be a visible manifestation of God's vision of and hope for all creation. May we live as if we truly believe that, shining light into darkness and celebrating the joy of life that we share together. Amen. As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.